Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you looking to hire a tech professional? With ZipRecruiter, you can post to 100-plus job boards, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/twit. And by Qualcomm Snapdragon Gigabit LTE. To make the most of your unlimited data plan, just go to snapdragon.com/gigabit. And by FreshBooks, the ridiculously easy-to-use cloud accounting software used by over 10 million people. Try it free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/AAA. Hello, and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 336, recorded on Tuesday, September 26th, 2017. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I am Florence Allen.
There we go. How are you guys doing? How's it going today on a Tuesday?
We're doing well.
You're doing?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, sure. That was not very convincing at all. I think we can do better going forward. I think we can make that better. And you know how we're going to do that?
How?
You.
Oh.
You, adding you to the mix. And we're all, you're like a rising tide lifts all boats.
Oh, that's really kind.
How's it going? Nice Miriam one. Jouar. Okay. Miriam Jouar, tankgirl.com. But also mobiletechpodcast.com.
Yeah, my podcast launched just, I think, the week or two after the last time I was on the show, which was like in April or so.
That's right.
And it's on...
Like a bottle of wine.
Yeah, and it's every week. And it's on, if you want to subscribe, mobiletechpodcast.com. Go to iTunes, we're on iTunes, we're on Pocket Cast. If you're an Android user, you obviously use Pocket Cast.
Nice, of course.
And it's audio only, it's not live, it's weekly, it comes out towards the end of the week, Thursday, Fridays. And of course, it's all about phones and mobile devices. And basically, think of the format I used to use at the Engadget Mobile Podcast and bring that back to life, and that's what it is.
Nice.
Me and another journalist or two just, you know, having a great time talking. So join... it's on episode 20 is coming out this week or next. I have to look.
So you're in the flow now.
Sometimes
it takes a little bit of time when you launch a new show to kind of get your feet under you a
little
bit.
We're looking for sponsors now. So if you're watching this and you want to sponsor us, get in touch. You can email me or hit me up on Twitter.
Nice.
And I'm excited. I just want to get it all the way all at once. But you see this?
I see that.
I became a citizen today.
Woo!
Congratulations.
You know what that means? That means like I can vote, which means that I can make a difference because things are kind of messed up, right? So there you go.
That's what they say. You vote. And if you don't vote,
jury duty is going to be the next thing. Watch. Watch me not be able to do the next show
what?
Because of
it's
jury
an American,
duty.
It's an American tradition, yes. And it'll really teach you a lot
I'm happy
about
with it.
What you just signed up for.
I'm happy with it. But America, thanks for making me a citizen, America.
Jury duty is a perk. You're lucky if you get jury duty. That's very entertaining.
Is that what it is?
Well, I mean,
interesting life experience.
It really is.
It really is.
I served on a 6-week jury earlier this summer.
Wow.
And I wouldn't change it. Like, it was awesome.
Wow.
And I went into it like
lucky.
Oh man, like really 6 weeks. This is a really long case. You know what? How is my life going to make room for this? It all happened. Life goes on, and it was a super eye-opening experience. So I hope that you get the chance to do it because you learn a lot about how
everything
works.
I'm not sure I want to do 6 weeks, but I'm sure that I don't have a choice. So anyway,
exactly.
So I'm hype. I'm very excited about that, and now you know it's
right
finally
on.
Congratulations.
Happened.
Yeah, you know, it's a huge deal. It was an amazing ceremony at the Paramount Theater in Oakland this morning, so that was
pretty
cool.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Anyway.
Oh, they did a ceremony. That's so lovely.
Oh, yeah. It was very touching, very awesome.
Right on. What better way to welcome you to the United States
than
All About Android? And we've got a lot to talk about. Miriam, when Miriam comes on, we talk hardware, and that is no exception today. We've got hands-on with the Galaxy Note 8. We've got the LG V30 in-house, the Asus Zenfone 4 Max, the Jelly 4G phone, smallest 4G phone. That's what they call it anyways. And a whole lot more. I'm sure there's other hardware hardware that we'll be looking at. We'll also be talking about Google's billion-dollar deal with HTC. Before we get to that, we're going to do the part that most people like, some people hate vehemently, and that is the Oreo segment. And today, I mean, when you've got jelly, of course you need peanut butter, right?
Oh, now I'm really glad I'm not there because I do not like that flavor combination. I am not a chocolate and peanut butter gal.
Flo's upset now. You're upset, Flo.
Well, I'm sorry. Well, then, no, you know what? It's okay. I picked the day that you weren't here then, Flo, to not eat the peanut butter Oreo. Would you like one?
Sure.
You don't have to eat one, and I would recommend eating it away from the mic because people get really mad about the
snacking. Are you sure? Wait, no.
Lips.
Then you're totally asking for it then.
Oh, man. Here we go. And, okay.
Mm-hmm. You get crumbs on your jelly phone.
Okay. So good.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all right. You got to like peanut butter, of course.
That's a little sweet, though. Whoa.
Well, it's an Oreo.
All right.
You should put some jam on it and see if it works.
It's also unlikely it's actually peanut butter.
Who knows what it actually is? Now
it's
I'm going to see.
Peanut butter flavored cream.
Thanks for ruining it for us, Ron.
Yeah. Who knows?
You just ruined it.
I love how this segment, every week we do it and we do our thing. And then I like hide the Oreos, but yet people just start sneaking under the table that aren't on the show and grabbing Oreos. There you go, Patrick. You can have that. There you go, Burke. Whatever. Yeah, that was the wrong camera, Burke. It's okay.
Victor, this one's for you.
We should throw you a cookie, Victor.
But if you want to pick it up at some point, it's right there.
Patrick is handing you a cookie.
All right,
so you're included, Victor.
I just want to thank everybody, too, by the way, for sending all of the weird flavors to us on Twitter.
Yeah.
That has been a lot of fun.
It has been.
And it makes me want to try and really dig into the variety of Oreos that are available at our disposal in this great, great country of the United States of America.
So far, I feel like I'm 50-50 on the flavors that we've tasted. 50-50 on actually liking them or not.
We're not keeping track. That's our problem. That's our failure. We need another wiki or doc keeping track of the flavors.
Excel spreadsheet. Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Oh my God! Am I not in on the spreadsheet?
Patrick, where is this wiki thing? Let me see here. Hold on. It's being tracked.
How did I not get invited to the spreadsheet? I'm very upset now.
Twit.to/Oreo.
All right.
Go to twit.to/Oreo. Now, rating is not included, but you can see the Oreo flavor, the date that it was tried, name of the episode.
I think we need to add ratings. I think we need to add, thumbs up, thumbs down.
All right. Yeah. I would give the peanut butter Oreo, I would give it an 8. I'm a fan of peanut butter and chocolate, so I would give it an 8.
7.
Yeah, it's right around there, 7 or 8.
It's fine. Right. It's a little sweet. I wish it was more of the drier, saltier peanut butter taste.
Oh, okay.
That's my thing.
Yeah. Peanut butter.
And I'm not entirely sure what it would taste like if I ate that and the jelly phone at the same time.
I'm guessing probably not very good.
So you got to be an Uber fan to do that.
The jelly phone does not run Oreo anyway.
That's true. So not yet.
It's not
probably
allowed.
Never. Anyways. I wouldn't count on it. No. Hey, why don't we talk about some news.
I had something about jelly, but everybody already said it. So move on to Android news.
All right, fine. We stole your thunder. I apologize about that, Victor.
Victor's first crash and burn on the news.
It's okay. It happens to all of us. It happens to all of us. Keep trying. And in the meantime, you can, you can take the comfort of some Oreos if you like. We'll throw you some cookies throughout the show.
Oh, I got one. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Good. All right, Flo, you got the top news.
Yeah. Well, isn't it perfect that such exciting, interesting things happen the day after we record the All About Android show? And unfortunately, last week what happened was that Google and HTC did indeed end up striking a deal, as the rumors had mongered, as we had been talking about on the show for the past couple of weeks. It wasn't a full buyout of HTC's mobile division, however, as it was rumored. So Google paid HTC $1.1 billion, which is amazing. And if I do say, a little higher than some people were projecting. This will net Google 2,000 HTC employees for its own hardware division, which is great. I don't think I don't recall reading that anybody would be moving those. So I think that might be a good deal for those employees. Also bring some Google non-exclusive access to HTC's IP library, and it might help possibly aid in the development of a proprietary SoC. System on a chip or a processor. Also includes integration of the tensor processing units, the TPUs, which is basically what helps with the artificial intelligence. And HTC stays in the smartphone industry with its own phones, so it'll still be branding and coming out with those fun twice a year announcements. It also includes a streamlined portfolio with greater operational efficiency and financial flexibility.
Their words.
Thanks to the help of Grandpa Google. You know, but it's still worth mentioning that through all of this has been going on the last couple of years, HTC's still kind of had a hard time standing out on its own. And it seems like kind of the big newsmaker for the big news for HTC has been tied to other companies or just other sort of trends. I mean, a lot of people know about the Vive, but that's also because it's sort of piggybacking on this big like virtual reality, you know, throw that's happening. And, you know, it's got Valve behind it helping a bit. And now we've got Google behind HTC. But who knows if that's going to translate to more HTC devices sold? I don't know. What do you guys think? Because we've had a week to parse some of this.
Well, you want? I know you have thoughts, Miriam.
Oh no, I don't have any thoughts. Actually, I think this is good for HTC and good for Google. I think this is good for everyone. My only fear, but it's probably. You know, I got a 50-50 chance here, is that we'll never see another HTC phone again.
Really?
I mean, that's what they say. Oh. You know, look, seriously, look.
Interesting.
I mean, we don't really know how many out of... That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is a lot of people. 2,000 people is a lot of people.
What HTC's resources are. I don't have a feeling they're doing that well. I mean, the U11 is a phenomenal phone. I love mine. But I'm worried we're never going to see another pure, like, real HTC phone with some of those HTC things we love. So... I mean, at the same time, if we see a Pixel 3 or Pixel XL 3 or Pixel 3 XL, whatever it's going to be called, next year, that's, you know, more awesome than awesome, we might not need a U12 or whatever. So I don't know. That's my fear. It's probably not justified right now. I think a lot of things have changed since Google acquired Moto and then let it go to Lenovo. I think it was good for Moto, right? All phones that came out from the... Google acquisition onward, including the switch over to Lenovo, have been pretty awesome. I mean, look at the roster of Moto phones this year. They're great. The E4 is an amazing low-end phone, or mid-ranger if you look at, depending on how you look at it. All the way up to the Z. The Z Force, the Z2 Force is a bit disappointing, but I think the Z2 Play was pretty solid. The X4 with Fi, which I don't know if we have that in the news. It's an Android One phone, which is kind of interesting in the US. So my point is it benefited them. If this thing with HTC doesn't work out, it's only going to benefit HTC. But I think Google's going to gain a lot from it. My only other thought about it is that, you know, I love LG-based Nexuses and or Pixel devices. We haven't had a Pixel device from LG, but everything points at the Pixel 2 XL being an LG device.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's anything like the V30, oh my God, it's going to be absolutely awesome. So
and we're going to hear your thoughts on V30.
So my point is that, you know, I'm a little worried that means we're not going to see any LG-based Pixel or Nexus-type devices from Google, and that might be a problem because right now I think they were the better phones. I think the Nexus 4, the Nexus 5, then arguably the Nexus 5X wasn't that great, but I think those two were... You know, I think the Nexus 5 can definitely be put as possibly the all-time best Nexus for a while,
Miriam, since you were last on the show, we decided that we're going to open a Android Hall of Fame, and the first phone that was getting inducted would be the Nexus 5.
Yeah. Yes. My point is basically that I have mixed feelings. I think this is good for Google. This is good for HTC. I'm worried that we're not going to see more... real HTC phones because of that. It's going to suck all their resources and they're going to focus more on Vive as an independent company. And then I'm also worried about the lack of LG. And you know, the Nexus 6P was an amazing phone from Huawei. And of course, Huawei doesn't want to be involved anymore because they couldn't really, you know, promote their name. We get all that. But yeah, it's a page being turned. it's a bit awkward of an announcement. I mean, if I put my PR hat on, I'm like, you're announcing this a few weeks before the Pixel event, or a week or two before the Pixel event, which is going to, you know, pump a LG device as your flagship. Weird.
Well, yeah, it made me wonder, like, what if these two phones come out in light of this news and the LG one just ends up being, like, far and away the better phone?
It will be. And we know it will be.
Well, I mean, come history on. Has told us one thing, but you never really know from device to device. LG has yet, had bad
so
phones,
we can't,
too.
We can't make yeah. any...
True, but
let's
I mean...
let's remember the modular, swappable LG. That was an LG phone that the whole thing slid true. Out and was
true,
awful.
But we, based on
with the friends?
Based on the yep. rumors.
The one with friends, yes.
Based on
the
friends, rumors yeah. and what we've seen so far, V20. We know it's going to be a derivative of the V30. So I think... And then we know the Pixel 2 is just going to be a glorified U11 shrunk down. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if I had to pick between the U11 and the V30, it'd be a no-brainer at this point. You know, that's just me.
That's based on your experience with the V30 that you have.
Correct. And then, you know, the big question is, you know, we know there's potentially no headphone jacks on these phones. You know, V30 has that. The current Pixel has that. Waterproofing, though, is a good thing. Hopefully they have that on the Pixel. So anyway, we'll see.
I can't help but feel like this announcement, or maybe why this might be a better move for Google this time around, is because, in a sense, the HTC profile really works for what Google's trying to do. I see a lot of Google just focusing on sort of innovating in this AI space, in the assistant space. Like, that's where it's really focused. And it doesn't have to operate at scale the same way that maybe Motorola wanted to, or maybe Motorola was set to operate at. Maybe that's why Motorola is doing better with Lenovo. They both have, similar ideologies in terms of how they're selling devices, where they want to sell devices. Whereas HTC can be thought of, I mean, I feel like in the next couple of years, they're going to be seen as a boutique brand because they're so much smaller now than they used to be, you know, in terms of market share, in terms of all these other things.
In terms of employees now, they just lost 2,000.
I mean, well, but those employees are going to a place with a lot of great benefits.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, but the thing is also is that, like, I don't know. I think this is I agree with Miriam that this is a weird announcement, and in that, like, we all thought that Google was going to buy the mobile division, or were they going to buy HTC, or what it kind of meant. This kind of saved HTC's ass to a certain degree in terms of, like, they stay in business and stay independent, and now their biggest client and partner is Google, which enables them IP, enables them a pipeline of releasing products for. Like, this sounds like a pretty sweetheart deal. And if things don't go well, then Google can pick apart the corpse because it has this huge hooks inside of the company.
Jeez, pick apart.
Right? I know. I mean, but from a business standpoint, it just seems it's like weird in that Google got everything they wanted out of a hardware manufacturer without taking any of the risk or taking on the debt or taking on any of the stuff that goes with buying another company. You know what I mean?
Like, it's a contractor.
Right. Yeah. No, but they, you know, they're not taking on any of their baggage or anything like that. Basically now Google's like, okay, HTC, we like what you do. We like your squeezable phone enough to make it a Pixel. Now let's double down on you guys and let's pump some money into you. And you're going to give us a percentage of your workforce to just work on our stuff. Yeah. I disagree. I mean, I agree with Miriam in that there's a chance we never see another HTC phone, but I don't agree that will happen. That I believe it's more likely that HTC still rolls out a phone trying to prove their worth, saying, look what we've done with this partnership of Google. We've done
with
our own
money,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think we'll get at least one out of that before the complete acquisition, you know, kind of happens, or, you know, or the VR business takes off or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, there are lots of question marks with HTC's business, and now there aren't as many question marks, that they've got solid footing. Let's see what they do with it.
Right. They have a little bit of extra runway and with their smartphones with that kind of money infusion. Speaking of next Pixel phones, though, Ron, this is some nuggets here.
So the rumor train keeps on chugging along as Artem Rusakovsky, I mispronounced that, from Android Police. He went to Twitter with some unverified rumors about the upcoming Pixel announcement. Now, take these with a grain of salt. But we'll go through each one of them. Well, I'll go through them all, and then we'll pick them apart as we want. So the first rumor is that the camera has its own type of portrait mode, though no dual camera system, so it's all software-based, which I'm sure Miriam's going to love. Pixel Launcher is completely redesigned with search bar at the bottom below the dock, which is just crazy. There's a feature that is always listening for playing music and will ID that song on the lock screen. Okay, Shazam.
That sounds cool.
That's neat. I would turn it off.
As long as it doesn't have a battery hit, you know?
Well, because the problem also is that, like, you don't always have control over the music that's playing, and I don't want to be reminded of some stuff that the music that my phone encounters throughout the day.
You don't want to know that song you actually liked was by that person. Oh, possibly. Now that I know that, I don't like that song anymore.
So, possibly.
Sorry, go on.
There are two more rumors that we can go through them. The frame squeeze on the HTC phone, as we know, actually triggers the assistant, which I think is a fine function. And then that squeeze function also works when the device is asleep. So there you go. Rumors, take them or leave them. Take them with a grain of salt. Miriam, what do you think of them?
I'm just going to comment, you know, cameras are a thing for me. So on that camera rumor that the Pixel might be able to do portrait and depth sensing with a single camera, that is absolutely possible because that's exactly what the front camera on the iPhone X is doing, right? So it's using a bunch of extra sensors and projectors, basically like Kinect, to do the depth sensing. And if
but it needs those extra sensors to do it. How does a single camera on the back do that?
You know, it doesn't. That's the thing. It's a single camera. It's a single RGB camera on the iPhone.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of other sensors. And if they're hidden behind that, the whole thing is glass. Remember, it looks all black, right? And so the other thing, keep in mind, Qualcomm announced that their next SoC for the next chip, like this was a few weeks ago, is going to support exactly that kind of depth sensing using infrared casting of a grid array or a point array. Basically, what we saw Apple announce recently.
Right.
So if that's the case, holy crap, right? I mean, seriously, I'm super on board because that's way more accurate for portrait than anything that uses two cameras right now.
But as far as we know about these next Pixels, it's not going to have the next generation Snapdragon. It's still going to be the current generation, so that wouldn't benefit.
Maybe they
can
implement the software in the ISP that they have. I mean, the Spectra ISP in the 835 is a beast. And so maybe it's the 835 and it's all good enough, or maybe it's the 836.
Meanwhile, we're talking about how do you do this effect with a camera and no other sensors. Wasn't it like 3 years ago that Google had the ability to do this? It required taking the picture and then moving the phone or something like that. And then it would snap in and then it would separate the back
from
the foreground.
It's just not very good.
It wasn't very good, but it did that. Maybe this is an enhancement on that.
And the other thing that
hopefully
could,
it's better than
the
that.
Other thing they could do is Lytro, right? If they have two lenses on top of each pixel, they can get parallax and then they can do it that way. I don't think that's that.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
That's expensive.
Someday, that's probably down the line.
Tons of little micro lenses to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, new feature rolled out to my Google Home. I don't know if any of you got it, but oh man, I've been waiting for this because I keep forgetting that it didn't have reminder support ever since launch, which why the heck not? So I would always like go, hey, you know, hey, G, remind me to blah, blah, blah. And it would be like, that feature is not supported yet. Well, guess what? Now it's supported. Hallelujah. You can say, okay, G, remind me at blank time to do whatever the thing is I want to do. Then you confirm it with your voice. Then once that time hits, you get this little boodik, this little chirp, and it says, I have a reminder for Jason or whatever, whosever name it matched up to. A single LED light stays lit on the Google Home. That's like a notification dot to let you know you have a reminder waiting for you. And you say, okay, G, what is my reminder? Or, okay, G, what's up? And it will read your reminder to you. I love it.
That's cool.
And then it also ends up on your phone in your notifications. It also ends up in your email if you've chosen to do that as a notification there too, so you don't miss it. These are things that I need in my life in order to stay on top of things because I'm very aloof in certain ways.
I'm super excited about the rumors of that Google Home Mini or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, the equivalent of the Echo Dot.
A little hockey puck.
Because, I mean, if it's $50, I'll just buy like 20 of them or something.
Yeah.
Put them everywhere.
Woo.
My neighbor's house.
You're balling.
I'm just joking.
Put them on the roof.
I'd probably buy a couple. I mean, I have one big one. And it's good, but it's... I'd want more. Like, I think for me, from my experience with Echo, having more of the cheaper ones is actually a better experience than having a single one of the big expensive ones.
Oh, okay.
And so I think that's going to be awesome.
Cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. And we will probably hear about that, I'm guessing, next week at the event. Next week.
The day after we know all about Android.
Exactly. So next Tuesday is the pre-announcement speculation episode.
Will you be there, Flo?
No, I will not. But I will be there in spirit.
In spirit. Yeah, I'll be there. It'll be cool.
Nice.
Looking forward to it.
Excellent. Flo, you got the email.
Yeah, we have an email from Mark, who, by the way, seems to have addressed this to Ron. But Mark, I'm going to answer it for you. So my wife currently has an iPhone 6. She's looking to replace it with an Android device. She's been admiring my Nexus 6 pictures and performance. I've been migrating her to Google services, so that switch will be easy. We've got two kids, and so a quick launch camera and quality pics are important and durable. Last Android she used was a Galaxy S. We're on Verizon. What are reliable suggestions for her? I was thinking Moto Z too. I guess you could do the Moto if you're really interested in the modular ecosystem that it's providing. But I mean, Galaxy S8 is on sale now at Verizon. There's still last year's Pixel if she wants something that kind of looks like an iPhone and kind of stay in that image sphere.
I was going to say, Pixel jumps out to me immediately because especially if you're moving her over to Google services, seems like it makes sense. But Flo, to your Moto Z2 comment, I mean, I've been using the Z2 Force. I'm still using it. And the only modular thing I use is the battery. I don't really use the 360 camera or the projector or the speaker because I don't really have any reason to. Uh-huh. But and I kind of like it because it is so thin and so light. And, you know, and so going from an iPhone, I could see that. I could see that jump. If you can get a good price on it, I would. I mean, I haven't played enough time with the Galaxy S8 to you know, I know it looks like a beautiful piece of hardware, but I haven't had time to play with it to say,
software,
you know, it
is very better than different. The other.
Software is very different, iPhone. And I say very bloaty. So,
oh, especially on Verizon, it's terrible. It's awful. I think there are like 9 apps that they bundle in, and there are all these ugly red icons. I'm just not a fan.
Yeah, but they put it in a folder, so you only have to look at the folder and not the contents.
I would also suggest...
Man, the amount of moans that came from that.
I would suggest also look at the G6, because it's pretty cheap on sale.
Yeah.
And it's a great phone. But I think she's coming from an iPhone 6. So, Ron, I think the Z2, whether it's the Force or the Play, are going to be way too big for her. Remember, they're the same physical size as an iPhone 6 Plus. And I would recommend the Z2 Play because of the headphone jack and the price performance / battery life / everything basically is really well balanced out. I find the Z2 Force to be a disappointment this year. No OIS on these cameras is, for a flagship, extremely disappointed in the fact that they're persisting on not putting the headphone jack back when really all the big players that matter in Android have a headphone jack right now.
Yeah, that's changing.
I think that's changing, but it's only right
changed.
Now. It's not changed. It's only Moto and the U11, which, as we know, HTC is not really that popular. So,
and soon to be the
I
Pixel.
Think the well, the Samsung, the Galaxy is the king and sells the most and has headphone jack. LG still has headphone jacks. The Pixels currently still have headphone jacks. I know that's changing. But I think that's a mistake.
The Jelly has a headphone jack.
It's also worth noting that the Note 8 has yet to also arrive to Verizon, as well as the LG V30. So if your wife is looking for like a literal fresh off the conveyor belt flagship, I mean, there's two bigger phones coming out. LG V30 has a 6-inch screen. We're going to get to that in a second. The Note 8 also has a big screen and a stylus. This is such a good time to shop for a phone because there's so many options. And whatever you do, try and eke out a discount out of Verizon.
Yeah.
Just do it. Go into the store and go, I demand a discount. Tell them Florence Lyon said so. Actually, don't say that.
Yeah, it's worth a shot. It's worth a shot.
Dangerous.
Worse for my dad, but he's kind of intimidating.
Yeah, it's the club that he's holding in his hand that maybe gets them, convinces them. Cool stuff. Hopefully you got some tips there that'll help you out in that move. Let's take a break, and then we're going to get to a bunch of hardware. We've got tons of phones in-house. We'll take a look at them. But before we do that, Let's thank the sponsor of today's episode, and that is ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, if you're in charge of hiring, you have the most important job in a company. The people that you hire, the time that you take to hire the right person can make or break your business. But do you know where to post jobs to find the most qualified candidates? It's not that easy, right? The internet's a big, big place. There's tons of qualified people out there posting on a million different places. Finding them is the challenge. ZipRecruiter will connect you with the most qualified candidates for any job, including highly sought after tech professionals. With just one click, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites, and their powerful technology just kind of goes to work. It efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. In fact, 80% of employers who posted a job on ZipRecruiter got a qualified candidate through the site within one day. Talk about efficiency. No more juggling emails or calls to your office. You simply screen, rate, and hire. You manage the candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. You can connect with a wide variety of professionals, including IT experts, and take your company to the next level. And you can do it today because it's such a quick process. More than 300 million applications have been delivered. And if you're currently searching for a job, ZipRecruiter will help you find your future job in any industry, including technology, government, business, finance, and a whole lot more. Just upload your resume and apply with a single click. Be sure to check out the ZipRecruiter blog also for recruiting tips and career advice that can help you on your path. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, you can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/twit. That's ZipRecruiter.com/twit. And we thank ZipRecruiter for their support of All About Android and the Twit Network. All right, it's Mega Hardware Shack time, if that is a segment.
The Mega Hardware Shack.
Wow, that was amazing.
It's the Love Shack of what? Hardware.
What?
That was. You need to record the Mega Hardware Shack and make that.
Yeah.
The Mega Hardware Shack.
That was amazing.
That could be in place of when we have those really big hardware blocks instead of like the Goat Shack. Shack. You could just call it
the Mega Goat Shack.
No. It sounded like the podcast in the Judge Dredd world about hardware.
Yes.
Where it's Mega Hardware One.
We'll work on it. But hey, I'm all down for different segment opportunities like that. Okay, so we're going to start off with the big one. We've already talked a little bit about the Note 8. Miriam, you have yours. You've probably been using yours longer than I have because I literally got this like 2 hours ago in a box on my desk.
Oh, really?
Just set it up. You know, thrown it around a couple of times. I've seen if I can scratch it. What's that?
Do you think it's too big for you? How do you feel? You're a taller guy than us, so I feel like...
It probably
I
looks
know.
Good on your face.
So this is the Note 8 in my hand. And, I mean, there's definitely some stretching going on here. I feel like it works fine for my hand. I think I got so used to the Nexus 6 that overcame my big phone anything because it was so wide that, you really had to contort how you used
but
it with one hand.
But I don't think this is a one-handed phone. I mean, I just kind of feel like these phones, when they get bigger, they're supposed to be kind of mostly wielded two-handed.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, you can type faster. You have your S Pen that you can use. You can, like, crop pictures. You can do all this productivity because, I mean, that's why you want a bigger screen, right? Maybe. Unless need the big font.
And I mean the Note, you know, it has the S Pen, so it's almost designed to be used with two hands. Because you, I would love to see someone use the Note 8 with one hand and also write with a stylus at the same time. I'm sure you could do it, but yeah, not very efficient.
Nice try.
I see that little squiggle right there. That's efficiency. But Miriam, you've been playing around with this a whole lot more than I have. What do you think?
I think it's. I mean. It's hard to top this if you want to check specs and spec lists and boxes. I mean,
it's right at the top.
And I have to say, look, I reviewed the Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus for ChipChick this year, and it's the first Android phone from Samsung that I felt like I didn't want to throw against the wall in the first hour of using it because I felt that the UI was finally mature and brought something to the table that I generally couldn't get on other some other Android devices. And this, of course, here translates here on the Note. It's a big phone. The big question, I think, for me is Galaxy S8 Plus or Note 8? Because right now you can get some pretty good deals on the Galaxy S8 Plus.
Yeah, you
can. And it has a bigger battery. And on top of that, the Note's going to take 2 or 3 months before you get good deals on this phone. So is the dual camera worth it? And is the S Pen worth it? Those are the two questions you have to ask yourself. The battery life is almost the same. Sure, the S8 Plus has a bit of an advantage. But I think that for me, the S Pen is not something I care about that much. I think it's beautifully implemented here. It's probably the best implementation of S Pen features yet. Obviously, you would expect that. Samsung really has owned that space since day one. I mean, there's other stylus-based phones, but nobody does it like Samsung there. But the dual camera on this is really great. And you know, it builds up on the great S8 and S8 Plus camera. What it does add, and it beat the iPhone 10 to the punch on this, is that the telephoto, the zoom lens, has OIS and a fast f-stop of f over 2.4. And so as such, you can take low-light, stabilized pictures with the zoom lens, which you couldn't do on any other phone up to now. The iPhone 7 Plus, the 8 Plus, both don't have OIS on the zoom lens. The OnePlus 5 doesn't have OIS on either of the lenses. So what I'm saying is that if you're looking for a camera with a zoom option, an optical zoom option that's stabilized, this is your only choice until you buy an iPhone 10, which I know nobody here will do since we're all Android users. So that's my takeaway in a nutshell. I think it's great.
Yeah, and I mean the OIS on both cameras, I'm really curious to see how that handles
it also lets you take portrait shots with so one of the features, I don't know if you can zoom in quickly here, Victor, I'll show you this, guys, is there is a if you start the camera up, there is a live focus slider.
Oh,
you
yeah.
See? Uh-huh. So you can adjust the amount of bokeh. I mean, we're not going to be able to see it here.
Yeah, it's hard to
do
the angle.
But you can adjust the amount of bokeh in real time. See,
is
right
it bokeh?
Now,
is that how you say that? I've been saying that wrong.
So see, look, right now it's not actually locking in. Stay around 4 feet away. So it's not doing it. But the point is that once you lock in on the portrait feature, it lets you adjust the amount of bokeh in real time and after the fact. So nobody's really, I mean, Huawei's done it, but nobody in you know, like what we're used to with a telephoto has done it before. So that's kind of cool. Other than that, so because of the OIS on both lenses, it lets you take portrait shots in lower light than, say, the iPhone does. So that's something you need. This is your phone.
If you need bokeh,
you know, okay. So the other thing is
blur.
I just want to, you know, we're going to talk about the V30 next, but yeah. This is fake bokeh. Remember, this is actually an artificial blurring of the background, and it never looks as good as the real thing. And the V30 has an f over 1.6 lens that gives you the real thing.
Okay.
So portrait mode, no longer needed, right?
I have to say, the iPhone does a really great job of portrait mode.
It's the best right now.
Yeah.
If you look at all, I mean, the Samsung's pretty good.
So good.
But if you look at everybody else, I mean, they fall short. Like the OnePlus 5
you see
is
around the edges.
Honestly, the OnePlus 5 and the Z2 Force are kind of disasters with their portrait modes, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. They're not good at all.
Well, a lot of these lower scale phones, we're going to talk about one of them here in a few minutes.
You mean the Jelly?
Not that one. That's top of the line. That's top of the line. Don't even throw the Jelly around like it's your punching bag. It packs a punch. But we'll talk about this in a second. This is the Asus Zenfone 4 Max. And even it, I mean, it's a low-cost phone. It's got the dual camera. So a lot of them are implementing this. And they're all going to be, you know, using those features to trying to implement the bokeh mode. And I have a feeling those low-end ones, yeah, just having dual cameras isn't enough. It's still going to look really rough around the edges. It's going to be probably a throwaway picture. But that's the Note 8. It sounds like you're very, very impressed, although maybe compared to the phone you're going to talk about after I talk about the Jelly, maybe it doesn't stand up to that. But before we get to that phone, let's talk about the Jelly.
Please.
We went from the largest phone that we have on the table today The smallest phone it's that we
so
have on the table tonight.
It's so cute and small.
Tonight.
I just, I cannot amazing. Wait to get mine.
It is.
Wait, hang on. As you're showing it, Jason, just for scale, can we hold the jelly next to the thumb
put
ring?
Put it on top of the note.
It's about 10 thumb rings.
I was going to say, it's about 10 or 11 thumb rings, just to give you a sense of the size of this
thing. 4, 5, 6, 7. It's 8 thumb rings tall versus 1, 2.
I think that's a new measurement we should do now on all the Android. How many thumb rings is it?
You know what? It's like 3.5 thumb rings wide versus 8 thumb rings tall. And this is a 4G phone. They call it the smallest 4G phone. It's by Unihertz. They funded this on Kickstarter. I got mine for $79. This is the bottom of the barrel version. 1 gig of RAM, 8 gigs of storage. You could upgrade this. I don't know why I didn't. For like $10 more, you get 2 gigs of RAM and 16 gigs of storage.
Why did I not do that?
Didn't do that?
I wasn't thinking about it.
It's like 1.5 cappuccinos in San Francisco.
I wasn't thinking about it. I was just like, deal. I'm getting one. Micro SD card, dual SIM. When you pop it open, the only way to get in there is to pop this case entirely
off. It's 750 milliamp hour battery. I don't know.
No, it's got a whopping 950 milliamp hour battery.
Not far off.
I didn't think it was less than a thousand.
How long does that relate to? Is that like 15 minutes of talk time, or what is that?
That's a good question in talk time, because I mean, I did make a handful of calls. Get a handful.
Does it turn on, Jason? I would love to see what the interface looks like on
this. Let's see here. So,
are you afraid of losing this?
Well, at this size, you could lose it pretty easily. Here you go. Here's Nougat on a tiny screen.
Oh my God, that's adorable.
It's beautiful.
I can only talk about this phone in a high-pitched voice.
Yeah, it's pretty cute.
We can only make it so big.
It's 7.0. Don't ask me if they will ever push an update to this.
Never.
Can you compare the icon size and the screen size to one of the phones there in front of you? Can you pull up your Pixel or something like that? Like compare the Chrome icon to... Yeah.
Let's see here. Sorry, I'm juggling a lot of phones here and trying to not...
Or not a lot of phones on one hand.
In one hand, you're absolutely right. Not a lot of phones at all. Okay, so then let's see here. There you go.
That's next to your Pixel XL, correct?
Yes.
That gives you an idea.
There's one.
Next to the Note, it looks like... It's ridiculous.
Oh man, I felt pretty ridiculous at the grocery store when I pulled this out because you know when you're at the grocery store and you're waiting for things and you're bored, you pull out your phone to kill time. I pulled out this thing.
Did you put your SIM in it?
I was super self-aware. I did, and you know what? It worked fine. I got notifications. I downloaded apps. The thing is, this is running a quad-core 1.1 gigahertz MediaTek processor. And like I already said, I got 1 gig of RAM on this thing. You realize how slow Android can move on this phone.
Really? Oh, that's unfortunate, actually.
Well, you know, I got bottom of the barrel of the bottom of the barrel. So, you know, I wouldn't expect much. I do think...
At least it's not a $39 blue phone from Amazon.
Burke handed me this... What is this?
An iPhone 4.
I don't even know what this
4
is.
4 or 4S.
Which feels so small, but then you put it up against the jelly and it's really not.
Oh my gosh, look at that.
Holy cow! The jelly that's you thought crazy. Was so small is really not that much smaller than an iPhone 4S.
Yeah, that tells you how.
That's really weird.
Just think for a while, this is all they could get.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, it really does feel like the Zoolander phone, the so small, like it's hilarious phone. But it does the trick. Like, I could see you getting one of these and just having this be like your media gym device. You know what I mean? It's like, it's an Android device. It doesn't cost that much. It's almost like buying like a little media player. You know what I mean? And sure, it can take calls and that's like a benefit, a bonus or whatever, but... Instead of taking your big honking phone, Instead of taking your big honking phone and attaching it to your arm with a case or whatever, just take this thing. It does the same thing. It's going to be fine.
Put a band on it. Put it around your wrist.
They sell a band.
There you go.
Yeah, and I mean it.
I mean, let's put it next to my Huawei Watch 2 just for fun.
So
here
is the jelly phone smaller than the Huawei Watch? Well, almost. Well, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
That gives you some scale ideas, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Anyways, you don't get this for performance. You get this for
the Snapdragon 400 in my watch too is probably faster than that.
Probably so. I mean, there were many times where I'm like trying to do things on here and like it's not registering, or you know, it takes me a couple of taps to do it. Typing on this thing is a nightmare, and there's no voice entry that I could find. So you're like stuck typing on it. You just don't want to do it. You don't want to type on this thing.
Well, those wondering, the Watch 2 band I have on there right now is actually my Moto 360 Gen 2 band.
Oh, stood and the test of time.
It's a 20 millimeter band. So if you want to take a screenshot of what that comparison and actually have a scale, width of the band is exactly 2 centimeters.
There you go. This is the Jelly. I think they have it up on Indiegogo now. So I think you can still order it if you didn't get it on the Kickstarter. I'm not saying it's bad. It's totally unique and it's not that expensive. So why not? It's got nougat, you know. But why don't we move from that to a phone that you're probably going to actually consider buying? And that's the LG V30.
There we go. So this is it right here. And I just want to give you a side-by-side with the notes. You give a scale comparison. In fact, it is bigger than G6, obviously. I don't remember the size. I think it's a 5.6 or 5.9. But here's it is next to a Pixel XL. So the same form factor as a Pixel XL, but a much larger screen, obviously, since it has that bezel-less, super wide screen front, right? It's OLED. It's plastic OLED, and it's a pre-production, so it's got it's a little blotchy in spots, and that's the defect that I think we're not going to see in the production units. It's a pretty common thing with the LG OLED screens, but honestly, you have to look for it. It's a gorgeous screen. And then in the back, it has a dual camera system. It's a fingerprint magnet, as you can see. This is a silver one. This is a pre-production prototype. It is not locked. It is completely unlocked. Has LG's quad DAC audio output feature, which sounds as good as like a dedicated $1,000 headphone amp with DAC, basically. It's amazing. Bad. And it's very light for its size, which is really cool. I'm usually running the Google Now launcher, but I set it up for you guys to see running the actual launcher from LG here. I think this is kind of like an underground hit of a phone.
Sleeper hit?
Yeah, it's not going to sell in the quantities of a Galaxy S8 or S8 Plus or Note 8, but I think the people who buy this phone are really going to love it. I am falling. I've received them both at the same time while I was at Burning Man. Came back; these were sitting on my desk, and I've used them equally. And I can tell you that it's smaller than a Galaxy S8 Plus, slightly bigger than a Galaxy S8, definitely bigger than the G6. But as you can see, it's about the size of a Pixel XL, and you get a lot of screen real estate. You get awesome audio, and you get this incredible camera system that I want to talk about a little more in detail. But it's thin, it's light.
It is very
light. There's no camera bump. It's mil-spec rated for waterproofing, dustproofing, and shock, so you can drop this thing. Of course, the glass might crack, and then it's no longer water resistant. But I haven't tried this. USB-C, of course. You got a SD card option in there. And you know, pretty much everything you'd expect. What I love about it is that it is the best-looking LG phone in a long time. The G6 was kind of a proto S8, but this is very much like an S8, but even more refined. Mm. And it has an incredible fit and finish. You can feel the edges. I don't know if this is stainless steel or aluminum, but it's pretty damn scratch resistant. And that fingerprint reader is perfectly located, just like on the Pixel. So the issue you have with the Galaxies, right?
Yeah, it's
stupid,
not up in the
fingerprint
corner, tucked
reader
away
out there next to the camera, that is now gone. And so the cameras, let's talk about them. In traditional LG fashion, one of them is a wide angle, super wide angle, and the other one is a regular camera. Mm-hmm. And here's what's remarkable, okay? So just like previous LG phones, only the regular camera is OIS and autofocus. The wide angle has a fixed focus and, you know, basically no stabilization. But what's hugely improved over the previous generation is the f-stop on the main camera is 1.6.
And is this the first smartphone to
Correct.
Hit that point?
And it's also the first smartphone at least from a, you know, in a mainstream manufacturer product that has a full glass lens. There's not any pieces of plastic in that lens. Mm-hmm. Most lenses on smartphones are plastic. They're not glass. So the clarity of that lens is really top-notch, and it's so fast. It lets in so much light. They went with 1 micron pixels on a 16 megapixel sensor, which my first reaction was like, you know, danger, danger, right? Because small pixels, I was like, this is bad. But then I saw what they're able to do in terms of software performance. There's very little noise, awesome dynamic range, super clear, super detailed. And because it's 16 megapixels, you can zoom in. Let me actually show you what I mean by that really briefly.
And while you're showing this off, I should say there's a video that you can find. It was a video that was shot by the cinematographer of Game of Thrones, and it was shot entirely on the V30.
Can you
bring
this up?
It was really impressive. I mean, the shots and the composition and everything was really impressive.
Now, this won't do it just until you see it on a really bigger screen, but this is a photo that I took at 8x digital zoom, manual mode in low light of a drag performance, and it is has a remarkable amount of detail, and it's in super low light, and there's a bunch more here. You can see the dynamic range with these lights.
Yeah.
There's another one here. You can actually see the polka dots on the outfit and the muscle tone on their arm. This is at 8x zoom on a 16 megapixel photo.
So wait, at 8x zoom, that's a digital zoom.
Digital zoom.
Interesting.
All right, so this is a shot without zoom. This is to capture motion. You can really clearly see the balloons are floating. But if you go down here, you can see the person's glasses are actually perfectly in focus and everything. So this camera is blowing my mind right now.
Nice.
And here's a kicker. The super wide angle is f over 1.9.
Wow.
So the previous wide angles from LG was like f2.2, 2.4. So you're getting a ton more light, and I'm in the front camera mode for me. So, you know, you have this super wide angle right here. I don't know if you can see. I'm capturing a whole bunch of stuff here. And then you've got the narrow angle. And so you want bokeh, right? Look, you just get it. Look in the background there.
It's hard to see that.
I don't know if you can see it, guys, but...
it's a little twisted.
The text back here is super blurry. Like, and I don't need portrait mode. Like,
it's live preview.
Let me take your photo, and then you know you'll see the background. I'm trying to get some light in the background.
This is normal.
Yeah, you look pretty normal.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So here, if you look now, there's Jason looking normal.
Yep, that's my normal face. Yeah.
But this back here is like super defocused. And it's just natural. You don't have to do anything to get to that. So that's kind of one of the things about this camera that's really, you know, impressive.
Nice.
And so, you know, if you want something different, then, you know, everybody's going to buy a Galaxy, right?
Right.
And you want a really high-quality Android phone that's not a Pixel for a change. Maybe you don't care about software updates that much. Maybe you can live with it for a year and really enjoy it. I think you should check this out.
Do you think the camera is the reason you get this? And if you don't care about cameras,
audio,
you look elsewhere?
And the audio performance is mind-blowing. Okay. Like, not the speaker, right? The headphone. Like, if you have a good pair of headphones or earbuds, I mean, unbelievable. It's the same as on the G6 in certain markets, not the US though. And the same as the V20 last year, that headphone amp. And it's just insane. I don't know if there'll be an unlocked version. This one is because it's a pre-production review units. I hope that they sell an unlocked unit like I believe they have for the G6 now. So LG's doing some good things here, really are. And if this is what the Pixel 2 XL is based on,
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. LG V30. It's still not out yet, but soon.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, they haven't given us pricing or availability yet. Yet they've seated us reviewing. It's like
a long time
late
ago.
August. Yeah. Like mid to late August. It's insane, actually.
Huh.
So I think it's coming.
Waiting?
I can tell you there are some bugs. It's not like nothing is a showstopper.
Yeah.
But there I've noticed some issues, like focusing in low light is still buggy, even though if you focus manually, it's top. Is tops. So I think they're going to fix a few more things, of course.
Awesome. All right. So I guess keep your ears out for that one, for the release and the price and all that kind of stuff. Mine, I don't really have a whole lot to say about it because, I just got it. I'm like flush with new phones right now all of a sudden. This is the Asus Zenfone 4 Max. You may remember a while back, probably like a month ago, Asus had an announcement of their Zen 4 lineup. And I mean, it was a lineup, right? It's like the entire thing, the entire family. I think they have like four or five different devices that all fall into the Asus Zenfone 4 lineup. They all differentiate themselves by size of battery or focus on front-facing camera, whatever. This is like the lower cost, larger device, if that makes sense. It's 5.5 inch IPS LCD display, curved glass, a little bit curved glass around the edges. It's not too dramatic, but it's definitely there. Aluminum body, so the build is aluminum. Definitely feels a little hollow, and I think the price point, which I'll get to in a second, might be part of that. You know, sometimes on the devices, they feel a little bit more significant because of that. They feel a little bit more premium. This feels like a little bit
hollow. It looks like a U11 from the front, actually.
Oh, interesting.
Have you noticed that?
Interesting. I hadn't noticed that. Snapdragon 430 running on here. 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage, 5,000 milliamp hour battery. So this is got a lot of battery going on. And they say, Asus says, 46 days of standby, which is hard to believe. But they say that's because of the low power processor. So the Snapdragon 430 that's running in there requires not as much power. The huge battery, of course. And then, of course, Asus has their own technology, you know, Power Master, they call it, for managing.
Sounds serious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't get it between the Power Master.
Mega Hardware Shack and the Power Master.
That's right. It's a little intense for my taste.
The Keymaster.
The gatekeeper. 13 megapixel dual rear-facing cameras, one regular and one wide-angle camera. 8 megapixel front facing camera, dual SIM, micro SD. Apparently apps are installing like crazy right now because I just set it up. It can be a power bank for other phones. So if you want to use the 5,000 milliamp hours in this battery fully charged to charge something else while you're out and about, you can do that. So I think in their lineup, this kind of qualifies
it
as
is
their
micro
big battery
USB
phone.
Though. You might want to mention.
Oh, that's a good point. Down here, you might see
if
this
you're
old
use
friend.
It as a power bank.
Yep.
It's worth noting this also comes in two sizes, 5.5 inch and 5.2 inch.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen the 5.2 inch.
I opened up the spec comparison chart.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I know you were at MWC Americas. Did you get a chance to take a look at this while you were there?
Yeah. I got to see the Zenfone 4 Pro, the Zenfone 4, the Zenfone 4 Max 5.5 inch, and the Zenfone 4 Max 5.2 inch.
Not difficult to keep track of it all.
When you say this is the 4 series, essentially their latest lineup of phones.
Yep.
And you know what's
funny?
For
the budget and...
Yeah, definitely for a budget.
They announced that the Zenfone 5 line is coming out in early 2018, just like a few days ago. It's like, really? You just...
They're just rapid fire right now.
Osborne effect, anyone?
It's rapid
Nobody's
fire.
Gonna buy your four or your four if you announce your five.
Although if that's 5 months down the line, 6 months, you gotta be careful with
that. So this is available in the US?
This is their first of the Zenfone 4 lineup to be available in the US and Canada. $199 US. So $200 in Canada, $299. And you know, they have a bunch of others that are gonna be coming out throughout the rest of Q4. So, you know, lower spec, I'd say, but emphasis on battery. If battery is your most important thing, this is an option. This is definitely an option to go for. The screen looks a little washed out, but looks all right. And I haven't had a chance to play around with the cameras to know whether they're up to snuff or not.
Next trend, a phone the size of this one with a screen the size of the Jelly.
Mega bezels.
Yeah, with a 7,000 milliamp hour battery.
We're bringing back the bezel, baby.
That's right.
You never know. Crazier things have happened. It is 2017. Anything can happen. All right. We've got more hardware news to talk about, but we're not going to do that until we take a break and thank the sponsor of today's episode. And that is Qualcomm Snapdragon Gigabit LTE. This is all about making your internet, your experience faster. You can stream and download what you want when you want at maximum speed. That's kind of the dream, right? That's what we want on our mobile devices. Snapdragon Gigabit LTE was designed to deliver the fastest mobile connectivity and help speed things up in crowded places. With additional lanes for your data to flow on and the ability to squeeze more speed from each LTE connection, Snapdragon Gigabit LTE is like driving on a much wider, much faster data highway. Average LTE download speeds are up to 7 times faster than typical home Wi-Fi. Super fast. You can turbocharge all of your connected apps. Dare I say mega fast? Because mega seems to be a theme in this episode today. Download the latest game from the Play Store on the go, perhaps faster than you can over your Wi-Fi connection at home. You can access all of your files in the cloud nearly as fast as you would if they were stored on your phone. So the cloud becomes your connected storage, even more so than it has in the past, which is very awesome. You can load Android Instant apps almost instantly, living up to the name, finally. Snapdragon Gigabit LTE technology uses the network much more efficiently, so you're going to be leaving plenty of room on the network for others to also make the most of their data plans. So everybody wins. Make the most of your unlimited data plan. To learn more about epic download speeds for all of your apps, all you have to do is visit snapdragon.com/gigabit. That's snapdragon.com/gigabit. And we thank Qualcomm Snapdragon Gigabit LTE for their support of All About Android. All right, we're going to get into some more hardware news here. Ron, you got this one. This is a very interesting story.
We talked about a little bit about last week when the email went out. We did a little breaking news of it. But so Android One is coming to the U.S. with the Moto X4 available on Project Fi, which is kind of amazing. So this is the first non-Nexus Pixel device that's going to be available on Project Fi. And for those who don't know about the Moto X4, mentioned a little earlier as well too, is a 5.2-inch 1080p display running on a Snapdragon 630 with 3 gig of RAM and 32 gig of storage. It's got a micro SD card slot, a rear dual camera with 12 megapixels and 8 megapixel sensors, and a 6 megapixel front-facing camera. Pre-order price for $399 in sterling black or sterling blue, if you want to be sterling about your phone. And they're offering a trade-in for Nexus devices for up to $165 in value. And you get additional $50 credit with if you do your trade-in before October 5th. So they're really motivated on migrating a lot of you Nexus users to this lower-cost option that's not a Pixel, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. And we actually got an email from Tom from Frederick, Maryland, who has some questions. He says, I'm in need of something clarified about the new Moto X4 Android One phone. And hopefully Miriam and Jason and Flo, we can all help Tom right now. He says, is it only for use on the Google Fi network that I can't buy it for use on AT&T? If that's true, since I get a corporate discount with AT&T, I will wait for the regular Moto X4. Any idea when it will arrive in the U.S.? And will it get Android P next year like the Android One? What do we think of the Moto X4 being available on Project Fi? And B, is it only going to be available on Project Fi?
I think Android P is going to be Android peanut butter and jelly.
I hope so.
But I realize he didn't ask that. I'm sure it's getting Android P, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? I was thinking this is probably unlocked. Like I did some searching around unlocked. And I couldn't find it.
It just happens that it's an Android One phone. This is the first Android One phone in the US, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
B, it's so you can, you know, technically there's a Moto X4 that's not Android One. Like that's with whatever's Moto's skin is. I don't know if we'll get this in the US at all. I doubt it. But it's going to be unlocked. And if you want to use it on Fi, it will be one of the first non-Nexus and Pixel devices to have Fi support. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think it's significant. It's definitely a upper mid-ranger. It's up there with the Moto Z2 Play, although the Moto Z2 Play adds mods and a bigger chassis. But it's part of the X line, which used to be the flagship line for Moto. And I think if you can throw away the mod support, I think this is going to be a
probably
pretty
okay.
solid phone, actually.
Yeah.
Based on Moto's phones this year, they potentially made too many phones this year, I think. You know, I'm also getting, the G5 Plus, G5S Plus is one of the... So the G5 had the G5 and G5 Plus, and then they now did a G5S Plus, which has a dual camera. And it's very similar in specs to the X4. And I'm like, seriously, Moto, you're turning into HTC circa 2011 here, where we were getting 65 phones a year.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about that because I think they were doing so well with just such a simple lineup for so long. But Lenovo is like that, so I'm not surprised. don't know. I think this is good.
Yeah. As far as buying this and then using it on AT&T, I mean, I think you probably could. You'd
have
to
sign
up.
Yeah, I don't see why you can't. Like, you just buy the phone and then put your SIM card in, right?
Yeah, you could. But, I mean, I think in order to buy this through Project Fi, you probably have to become a Fi subscriber
but
to a certain degree,
right? But
you just don't
use it.
So, but, I mean, you sign up for the month. I mean, there is a minimum with Fi.
Yeah,
you have to pay your monthly minimum, I think, which is not very much. I think it's like $20. But so I think, and I don't know, there might be some stipulation in there about buying this through Fi having to do a certain number of, you know, amount of months or something like that. I honestly don't know and couldn't find that. But at the very least, I'm guessing you'd probably have to do Fi for at least a month. So that tacks on another 20. I guess what I'm trying to say is it might just be more hassle than it's worth doing this through Fi and
right.
then taking it and putting it on AT&T if you can get a corporate discount with AT&T and the regular Moto X 4 is coming there anyways.
What's interesting to me is that this is the first non-LG phone with an ultra-wide lens as the second camera. Nobody else has ever done that, right? LG is the only one who does a dual camera where you don't get the second camera for the bokeh and portrait mode.
Right, right. Oh, okay.
And monochrome like the Z2 Force or the Huawei's, but you get a super wide angle, and that's the same here. Yeah. And also, it looks like the primary camera is very similar to the G5, which means it's 12 megapixels with large pixels and a very fast f-stop.
Oh, okay.
So that means it's going to be good in low light without a YS. So there you go.
I gotta be honest. Like I said last week when we talked about this briefly, I love that they're offering a $399 price level on a phone, which looks to be a really decent phone.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that having an affordable option from Google is great, although I do wonder about siphoning it away from the Pixel in the Project Fi land. That is still a bit of an obstacle to your average user. You know, it's kind of hard. Like, I think I have a hard time explaining Project Fi to my mother or my sister or something like that, you know, like a true layman.
Sure.
But, you know, they I'm on their website now. They're looking at all their FAQs and things like that. And, you know, they're doing their best with it. I think from a cost standpoint, this is a nice option. So
yeah.
Oh, here we go.
According to
the FAQ section on Project Fi's website, which I can put in the chat for you, Victor, if you want to share it. Although it's a bit of a scroll down. If I buy a new device from Project Fi, will it work with other wireless providers? Yes. Any device you get from Project Fi comes unlocked and can be used with other wireless providers if you choose to leave our service. So, Jason, you might be right. You probably have to use Fi for at least a month and then leave the service.
At least, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
There it is.
Yep. Well, there you go. Completely unlocked, which kind of confirmed that, too. I think that's just the way it's been so far, so that makes sense that they'd have it codified there.
Yep.
Flo, what you wearing?
Well, I'm just wearing a T-shirt right now. I'm not wearing the new Project Dakar jacket. Well, I mean, what am I? You asked me what I'm wearing, and I told you
it got weird.
Sorry,
you took it there.
It was a failed failed segue. Apparently,
that's all right. We're moving along. So, Project Dakar jacket. It's not a phone. It's not a phone, but it's actually a jean jacket that you can buy from Levi's very soon. It costs $350. That's because it includes the fact that that's because the sleeve is threaded with conductive fabric, which helps you control the smartphone. There are a couple of little articles floating around of people who've had some time to like wear this jacket and actually use it. It's an interesting concept. It was first shown 2 years ago at Google I/O back when it was still at Moscone Center in downtown SF. It's mostly meant for the commuter, the person who's on their bike, the person who walks long distances to work, maybe the person who has a long, you know, train ride to work, so that you don't have to worry with fumbling around with your phone. You can kind of just control things like notifications. So there are four gestures which are fully programmable for control, just as you're moving about. The only bummer about this, though, is that, well, you can only wash it about 10 times before the thread is sort of compromised by the wash. Now, I'm curious personally if that means that you can dry clean it, since that's a different method of cleaning. And that's how I would clean my jean jacket, because I've had my jean jacket since 1996 and I would like to keep it going. But, you know, if you're spending $350 for a jacket, I mean, you better be taking pretty darn good care of that thing anyway, especially something as sort of beta and, well, maybe not beta, but just something so new and different. It's also worth noting that there is a quote-unquote dumb version of this commuter jacket for almost $150. So you're paying about $200 more for the thread integration. It's a cool concept. Who knows? I might buy it for someone for Christmas this year if I find the...
Well, you know, I've got comments. I've got many, many comments.
Yeah, so first, go ahead.
I want to hear what you're going to say, Ron. Let's do this.
Well, first off, I don't think I've worn a jean jacket since 1991, but if anybody wants to get me one, I will wear the heck out of this in New York City. I love
it. Is this what you want for Christmas? Is this what you're asking me?
I will give it a test run. That said, the old punk kid in me might be coming out, but I don't think I've ever washed a jacket I own. So
that's true.
I have a
work, like a gas station jacket that I literally, I don't think I've ever washed, and it's just I wear it in the winter and that's what it is. And you know, like now, admittedly, if it got spilled on or something like that, it might have, dry cleaning could be an option, but you can only wash it 10 times. I don't think that's a problem. And I this is fantastic. This is the future. I love it. Sign me up. Totally.
I was just reading comments like on Mashable and The Verge, which they had pretty good like hands on time.
Yes.
And
arms on time.
I was reading the comments and a couple people were saying, there's no way in heck I would wear this thing while I'm biking. Like, I want to be free and whatever. You know, this is just like another thing to contend with. And I don't know. I mean, Ron, do you wear a jean jacket in a cold NYC winter?
I haven't worn a jean jacket since 1991.
That's okay. Then wrong person maybe to ask.
No, you can't wear, I mean, you're not going to wear it in the winter. I mean, I have my heavy pea coat for the winter. The winter months, but the idea of this technology, this is a first, you know, this is an early entry, but the idea of putting in device controls in a garment like this is, you know, I think really, really compelling. I don't bike to work. I don't bike at all. I think the last time I rode a bicycle was when I was wearing a jean jacket in 1991, but I commute and I use my phone to listen to podcasts and listen to music, and I skip to the next one. I have to pause it. I do other things like that. You know, I enjoy not having to take my phone out and having the headphone cable get tangled in other people on the subway, which is one of the reasons why I'm leaning towards Bluetooth headphones. You know, to be able to do something and have it work, that's pretty cool. I mean, I that's really neat. I would, if they could integrate this into a sweater or a hoodie or something like that, I would totally consider that as well too.
You know, better than a smartwatch just to control music, you know, exactly. Like just to have that interface built in so I don't have to wear anything else. And I mean, the only time I'm going to use that stuff anyway is when I'm all like geared up to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So the thing about this jacket that really confuses me is that I don't think there's anything in that jacket that is actually circuit. There's just some conducting fabric. There's the little device on the cuff is a Bluetooth remote for your phone that remotes the previous track, next track, and has a little notification LED and a vibration motor. And that you can remove from the jacket, and that's the actual electronics. So what I'm trying to figure out is, what are they using the conductive thread for, and what's so cool about it? If it was integrated and washable, I would get it. And if it's just a remote control with a notification LED and a vibration motor, I'm sorry, but a watch that you can wear with any clothes, not because a jacket you technically don't wear indoors, is a much better solution. I don't get it. I get the conductive fabric, but I don't get it. It's not.
It's innovative, and it is because it's kind of a way to just sort of like integrate this into a really mainstream product versus something that just sort of only.
What are they using the
really
conductive fabric for if the thing is pretty much a standalone little remote on your cuff and it's Bluetooth control? Is the battery in a different part of the jacket? Is that what it is? And the battery is, the power is being sent?
I don't know. I haven't worn the jacket.
So this is my point. Yeah. It's like, where's the innovation here? I don't get it.
I just remember playing with the little demo that they had at Google I.O. a couple years ago, and just
pretty cool.
Just being very like impressed with the idea of this thread that is usually made to make this really sort of inanimate thing that just sort of hangs on me has some sort of smartness to it that connects to this completely different device. And I think just the idea of something semi-organic I think it's the idea that is very cool. And the reason it's on sale is for the people who want the privilege to kind of be safe first.
As far as I can recall from kind of my time with it, for number one, it was really cool to interact with it, like to have the big kind of fabric thread, move your fingers around, look on the screen, and you could see the touch points and everything. And it was neat to know that there was stuff threaded into the fabric that was allowing for that. It was just a different type of sensation. But as far as I know, as far as I remember anyways, that thing that you're plugging it in is kind of the conduit. Like there's some sort of connectivity between that and the space on your sleeve that those threads are interweaved to.
Yeah. So one that side is the control and the other side is the electronics.
In some way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and that's not clear at all from any of the stuff I've seen. I mean, I remember the demos at Gula, but those were prototypes. So this is a production unit, and I want to know how it really works, right? Like, right now, it's like, if you have to touch the actual electronic unit to do the stuff, then it's like, you know, you just put a little remote for Android, Bluetooth remote on your cuff with a little pin, and you're done, right?
I mean, it does kind of shatter the illusion a little bit, and the fact that, you know, you've got this awesome fabric touchpad on your sleeve, but it still has to connect to this, you know, kind of chunky plastic thing that we're so used to having attached to everything, right? Like, it would be magic if it was just that and that was it. But a battery has to be somewhere, and some sort of antenna to zap that over to your phone has to be somewhere too.
Yeah.
So that adds this element of bulk that I think that, you know, they tried to make that thing they made it touch sensitive so you could tap it and kind of interact with it to give it kind of more purpose as well. But it's still, that ends up kind of shattering the illusion a little bit.
Okay, that changes everything that I perceived about it. I never understood that the cuff itself and the fabric becomes a touch surface that controls the device.
It is absolutely that.
That was not clear. And a lot of people are not getting it. I'm reading the comments and read a bunch of articles where people are like, what's the big deal? You put a Bluetooth remote in a jacket. You pin the Bluetooth remote on a jacket.
They're fixated on the little plastic thing and not the actual surface of the fabric, which is the thing that makes it really cool.
Exactly.
Well, so I'd like to see some mainstream coverage of this too, because I feel like a lot of it's been really concentrated to like tech publications. And so we're all like kind of looking at the, you know, the really techie, I don't know.
I haven't seen a lot
about it outside of our little bubble is what I'm trying to say. And I'd like to get some outside input on this sort of thing, because I think that's eventually where Google wants to take it. This is not just for techies. This is kind of something that's supposed to be, you know, inclusive.
I'm just saying, Google, Levi, I will wear it.
Same.
If one magically appeared at my apartment in New York City, I would be on the streets the next day using it.
Please, yeah, sure. I'll pay for postage.
we don't need to wash it, so it'll be fine.
I don't know how you'd feel about me wear it, but you know.
Vice versa.
All right, hey, I've got something else that we can talk about that's wearable. It's the other type of hardware.
Well, you can't really wear it anymore.
You can't anymore. But anyways, so Verizon, let's see here. They have the Wear 24. Do you remember this? You probably don't remember this.
Oh, yes.
But the Wear 24 was a smartwatch that they released, I don't know,
four months ago
or something?
They released it after they had announced it. Like, I think it was a long time before they had actually released it, they had announced it.
Yeah, it was kind of weird, and I wasn't quite sure like how. I mean, I knew it probably wasn't going to do very well, but it didn't really. It just suddenly was there, and apparently Verizon has their own smartwatch that they sell in their stores. Okay, yeah, 4 months later, it's done. It's dead.
See, I raised an eyebrow when I heard that, and 4 months later, the eyebrow lowered.
Oh.
See, that's basically what happened, because I was like, what are you doing, Verizon? Like, this is clearly made by LG, it looks like to me. Uh-huh. And it's like, why do you need to brand your own smartwatch? Like, first of all, if you had done that 3 or 4 years ago when Pebble was a thing, maybe then, you know, it'd be like it was hot.
Right.
But now you're like completely cold.
Right. Yeah.
And on top of that,
the category is not very hot right now.
Just another Android Wear watches, many, and, you know, some of them are good. But I mean, like, how are you going to differentiate?
Yeah.
And well, on the carrier, on the data plan, I, come on, yeah. Seriously?
It was $300 on contract, $350 without the contract. So it was not an inexpensive watch by any means, possibly part of the reason why it didn't do well. Also, like, yeah, wearables have just kind of slowed down in this regard. So that's where we're at right now. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Wake up. Wake up. Everybody back to the show.
I started talking about wearables.
Yeah, I apologize about that. Well, we were talking about jean jacket wearable. It seemed like the right time to talk about
that. That enthused me.
Yeah.
Squeezed it in there.
We got it in there. The important information of the day. The most important news of the day. Ron, you've got an email.
Yes. Maxime writes in and says, I'm a longtime listener. I've been listening to your show even before I became an Android user, which begs the question for me, why? I mean, okay.
Aspiring. That's cool.
Thank you, Maxime.
Because a lot of people listen to the show and watch the show.
Oh, I know. It's fun. I just feel like when you're an Android user, you've got a vested interest in it. When you're not, I guess you're maybe curious. You're Android curious.
Android
there you
curious,
are.
But yeah.
Maxime, glad that you listen and glad that you're on board. Maxime asks, if Google Assistant is so much better than Siri and others, why then can I ask Google to read my incoming SMS upon request? I can send but can't read. Sad face. Any apps you guys are using?
That would be nice.
So you can't?
So I looked into this, and as of last March, Assistant did roll out an update that allows Assistant to read your messages, but I think the key word that she's talking here is incoming, in that it doesn't proactively say, hey, you have a message. Jason says, Ron, why are you an idiot on All About Android? It doesn't work that. Basically, what you have to do is you have to tell Assistant, you have to say, I don't want to start, but okay, what are my messages or what is the message from Jay? Like, you have to engage it and then it will read you back the message, which is a subtle interaction difference. I don't have any apps that read messages out loud because I don't want anyone to hear my messages, mm-hmm. and I don't drive. So I don't really have that need, but do you guys know of any apps that will get around this or handle it? Or are they stuck with having to engage Assistant to do it?
I mean, reading messages out loud, I don't know if I have an app that will put that into Assistant necessarily, but I mean, there are plenty of apps that do this. Agent,
Android Auto.
Yeah, Android Auto does it. Agent does it.
Just pop into that, and that, for me, is the perfect implementation. I just pop into that if I'm driving. If you're commuting, I feel like I'm going to go into the Play Store after this and see if I can find something. But I feel like Google Assistant should be able to get the job done, as long as just maybe learn what the command is.
Okay, yep. So Bleak just posted in the chat a March 8th.
Yeah, that's the same article I've
that's
gotten.
That's the same one. Okay.
So the same date. Yeah, it was a March update. Actually, Victor, if you can hit on that, I went with the Android Authority article about it.
But, So then, explain that again, because like I'm... These are saying that it can read it back, but it's just not proactive. You have to engage it. That's the difference.
Exactly.
I got you.
So it says, for example, by saying, show me my messages, the message interface will pop up on your screen, you know, show me my last message or whatever it is, and then you can have it read it to you. An incoming message, it's not going to say, hey, it's not going to beep and say, hey, Jason, you have a message, you know, like that sort of thing.
Okay.
It's a subtle difference.
And stop arguing anyway. You all know Google Assistant is awesome and does everything right.
Exactly.
Words
to live by.
It doesn't do everything right, but it's damn good.
I love it.
It is one of the better ones.
I mean, basically, if you are an Android user and you're used to Google Assistant and you try Siri or Bixby or even the scale, it's just like wah 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 a lot. I mean, you know, that's kind of, does a lot of things right. Home automation, I think, is really good. But I think, don't even get me started on Bixby.
The thing that I found interesting about all these assistants and all these sort of things is the fierce loyalty people have on them. Mm-hmm. that develops purely just from using it. You know, so like what has happened is that you've got people with Amazon Echoes and Echo Dots and things like that, and they love her or it or whatever it is, you know, because it's this thing in your house. All of us with our Google Homes, we love it because it's this thing, like, we chuckle every time Google Home has a new way to say good morning to us. You know, like it's this kind of thing that because it's so invasive and a part of your life, people who use Siri and it works for them, they love Siri. Like, I think that there's something about that connection, a voice that responds to your command, that gives you information you need, that builds this loyalty. And from my experience, it is an emerging loyalty that is really hard to break.
Like, I'm polyamorous with my assistants. I've got a thing for Cortana, actually.
Before we move on, I just want to say I got a quick little tweet from a viewer, Blind Bites, that a really great app for, in his experience, for reading incoming messages and other things is Shouter or Shouter Pro. Oh. I put a little link in the chat. And the light has gone in my house. Sorry.
It's too early for the arena. What are you talking about?
I just wanted to suggest that for anybody for the original email, if you're looking for an app or something.
Shouter. The announcer. Shouter Pro.
This is the pro version. And it actually has pretty good reviews. 4.6.
Oh, okay.
Last updated August 5th. So,
Interesting.
Pretty good track record. There you go.
As an aside, guys, I just want to say that time when you get an email from FedEx that says your shipment is scheduled to be sent on and it comes from Google Inc.
What?
What could it be?
Oh, did you just get that?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. Interesting.
That's all I'm going to say.
That's, I think, all that you can say.
Probably. Otherwise, they're going to kill me through my Google Assistant.
I don't think you're allowed to say anything more than
they're
that.
They're going to explode my Pixel.
Interesting.
Intrigue. Intrigue.
For sure. Let us know in back channel what you know. What's going on.
I have no idea what it is.
Same. All right, Ron, you got the ad.
Yes. All right. Well, we want to thank FreshBooks for sponsoring this episode of All About Android in our final advertiser spot. And FreshBooks is fantastic because it helps make running your business easy, fast, and secure. FreshBooks' all-new version of their cloud accounting software is the solution that you need to make your business that much better. You can gain quick access to your spending, outstanding balances, total profit, and other accounting reports in the FreshBooks dashboard. And listen, the key thing about business is you want to get paid quickly. Well, guess what? FreshBooks has the answer for you. Send professional-looking invoices online on FreshBooks and get paid an average of 11 days faster. It's amazing. So when you create your invoices, you can see which invoices have been sent, viewed, and paid. It gives you insight into what your client is doing on the other end of the computer and why they aren't paying you yet. Maybe they haven't even looked at your invoice. You can call them up and say, hey, Joe, I sent you that invoice. He goes, all right, here you go, paid. Boom, now you can buy lunch for the team. You can design your invoices to have your branding, and you can set recurring invoices and send automatic payment reminders and set automatic late fees. You can reward prompt clients and encourage customer loyalty by adding discounts to recurring templates. When it comes time to create an invoice, FreshBooks helps you know what you did and when you did it. This is so key, especially if you're a freelancer or working or you have your own small business, especially if you're billing clients by your time. You can keep track of it and keep track of it by specific projects. Just press play to track your time to the minute while you use your computer and goes right into that invoice. It's amazing. Assign services to projects and designate different rates for each service. Time entries are sorted chronologically on the invoice for you automatically. Stay connected to your clients and keep tabs on your business no matter where you are with the FreshBooks app. Listen, running a business is hard enough. You don't want to have to worry about getting your invoicing and your billing correct. Let FreshBooks do all the hard work. And another hard part of business is keeping track of your expenses. And FreshBooks comes in and saves the day with this as well. You can snap a photo of your receipts and connect your bank account or credit cards to automatically import expenses daily. You don't want to spend time sorting through your expenses. Let FreshBooks figure it all out. If you need some help, you can access FAQ articles with FreshBooks' new help widget. Simply click on the blue question mark in the bottom right of your desktop. With all of these features and support, it's no wonder FreshBooks was included in Forbes' Small Giants list for 2017. So listen, if you got a small business, you're not on FreshBooks, now's your chance. You're going to try it for free for 30 days. That's right. You heard me correctly. Free for 30 days at FreshBooks.com/AAA. Enter All About Android in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's FreshBooks.com/AAA. And we thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode of All About Android and helping our businesses run smoothly. Thank you, FreshBooks.
Thank you, FreshBooks. All right. And in this hardware-heavy episode, we're going to take a break from the hardware and talk about some apps in the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Arena. It's time to take a look at last week's poll, and it appears, Flo, good work. Firefox Focus.
Yeah.
Look at eked that. Out the wind. It was close. It was super close, this one.
Look at that.
Firefox Focus wins with 40% of the vote. My Device's Cayenne, that was Padre's pick. Second place at 39%, a mere three votes shy of tying. Material Notification Shade comes in third at 15%. And Space, that was my app, fourth place, 5%.
This is pretty amazing because if you remember the past couple of weeks, we've been saying it's anybody's ball game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, here we have a complete turn of events in the arena after 38 weeks. Flo has climbed her way out of the basement. Remember, like a month ago, she was in last.
The basement is where you put me? Jeez.
Now wow. Flo is now she's turned on the lights and she is sitting pretty in first place out of the basement, Flo.
What? I turned on the Hue lights.
So now with Flo's 100 points puts her in first place. I'm in second place with 99 points. The guests have got 97 points. And Jason, now you're in the basement with 94 points.
Nobody puts Jason in the basement. Nobody.
But dude, you can turn it around with a win this week. You could be in second place, man.
It's okay. Yeah. I have hope. I have faith. We'll see about this because we've got a lot of good apps in today's arena. I'll go ahead and start because I was the loser. It's okay. I can admit it.
I lost. A loser, Jason. You are not a loser.
It's okay.
All right.
I won't be again though, because I've got a game this time. I like word games. I also like games that are kind of competitive, turn based with actual people in the world and not necessarily playing against a computer. Right? I remember years ago. Remember Words with Friends? That went through a stint with that, and it was kind of nice to be able to jump in there, do my little word thing, walk away, and then a little bit later come back and, hey, I've got a turn waiting for me. Apparently, this game was big on iOS and finally came to Android. It's called Letterpress.
I
will show this to you. It seems to have a good following. So I'm going to start a new game. And new game, we'll go ahead and auto-match. I've got an account. That's me. I'm waiting for someone. You get a grid of letters here. And basically, once I have someone, which I think I probably do, it's my turn, and I want to spell as long of a word or as big of a word as I can with all these letters, which can be kind of hard to do when you're doing a live show. But let's see here. Drape. Okay, so I'll go ahead and submit that. Drape. I should have put the S on there. Drapes. Dang it. Anyways. Okay. So now I'm waiting. And the person that I'm playing will take their time and they will play their round. And you can see kind of over time, the better word that I have, it kind of changes the balance of the score between the two. If I can successfully surround any letter here, that letter becomes locked and it becomes a letter that only I can use. You can reuse these letters. The game ends once all of these letters have been used. So they took their turn, they aped mine and put a D at the end with draped. So now you can see those are all their pieces. My pieces, I no longer occupy any pieces on the board. That's why I have 0 points. And they have 6. So they wiped me out because they took my word and added to it and took all of my points away. So now I have to look for another one, which let's hope I can do this on the fly. Let's see here. And if you guys see one, let me know. I know this is hard to do when you're doing a show. Let's see here.
You can spell death if you really want to take it there.
Okay, we'll go dark. D-E-A. Where's the H?
Ah, shoot.
Deets. okay. Deers.
Deer. Just deer.
Dearest.
Dearest.
There we go. Dearest. So nice. Now I've removed some of their pieces. I now have 7. They have two. And you can see, you go back and forth, and you want to end with the most pieces on the board by the time that all the letters have been used. And it can take a while because you can reuse letters over and over again. That is, unless you surround a letter with all of your color, then that letter in the center becomes only your letter.
You get help.
And, nice. Chat room is really chipping in right now. So now we're waiting for their turn. They're going to be angry when I don't actually finish this game because it takes a while. They don't know that they're on a live show right now.
Chat room rocks. That's one of the things I love about this show.
But anyways, so this is called Letter Press. It's a lot of fun to play. You can just kind of sit there and punch out a bunch of words. And, you know, it's a fun word game to play against random people on the internet. And they're taking a while. Maybe they're doing
a
show too.
Who doesn't love playing random people on the internet?
This game is not confusing, Marsworm. You just enter words and try and get rid of their titles in the process. Their tiles in the process.
Marsworm, you got to stop smoking weed.
Well, you heard it from Miriam. I didn't say that. Don't judge my app based on Miriam's comment. Yeah, they aren't getting back to me. They're recording their own show.
Anyway, smoke all the weed you want.
Yeah. That's true. It's America.
That's right.
Welcome to America, Miriam.
I know. I'm going to start smoking weed again.
It's my turn. They got deader. I didn't know that was a word, deader. Anyways, so now I'm 2 and they're 8. And we go on and on and on. They've surrounded that, so can I not do that? No, I can, but it's close. If they get R, then I think it's gone. Anyways, that's Letter Press. It's a lot of fun. Play it if you like. Who goes next? I've lost track of this.
I think I go next because Flo won, and then Miriam, and then Flo.
Okay. All right, Ron. All right. I've got yours installed.
Best for last.
Yes. Yeah, so thanks to a wonderful Twitter exchange, I caved in to the pressure of bringing our good friend Francisco Franco's app to the arena, Naptime X. And the reason why Naptime X is worth talking about at this point, or Naptime Superdose as it's called now, is that previously this is an app that Francisco Franco had created that required root, but he's now updated it so that now it does not require root. Instead, it just simply requires you to run some commands for permissions in your ADB, but we'll get to that in a moment. But once you do that, what you can do is Naptime allows you to take control of Doze, which we can all agree is one of the best developments that have come from the Android operating system over the past couple of years. Doze is fantastic. Doze is the thing where when you put your phone down and the phone detects that it goes into the Doze mode, it goes into like ultra battery saving mode. The problem, as Francisco found out with this, is that Doze is very limited in how it works. It either requires you to be plugged in or requires the phone not to be touched for 2 hours or all stuff like that. With Naptime, that breaks all those rules and allows you to use what Francisco calls aggressive doze, which will basically trigger doze within 5 seconds of the device's screen going off.
Maybe mega doze would work as well.
Yeah, mega doze.
Everything's mega on this show. Yes.
And so additionally, what you can do is you can turn on aggressive doze. You could also set it to apply doze after the phone wakes up. So to reapply it after phone wake-ups. Or you could also say to disable aggressive doze when charging. So it's really giving you more control over doze. It also allows you to build a whitelist of apps that you can monitor their sensors usage during the doze period. So you can whitelist apps that you want to have sensors still be active during doze, which is crazy when you think about it. And then it also allows you to build some broadcast kind of stuff for Tasker and things like that that allow you to set kind of controls for automation tools to enable or disable Doze on command whenever you want to do it. As well as it keeps track of your Doze stats and histories so that you can look to see when Doze triggers, how long it does, when it wakes up. And it just basically gives you more insight to what's going on with Doze, which is one of the greatest things on an Android phone. And of course, you can turn on a dark theme or a light theme at the very bottom because Francisco knows that you have stylistic choices to make. So Naptime is great. He offers a free version that is ad supported or a paid version for $2.49. And like I said earlier in the beginning, Jason is able to do this because he made the specific changes that require it. This is a little, while it doesn't require a root, it does require you to be familiar with the I don't remember what the ADB, what does that stand for again? Android?
Well, yeah, so it's basically the debugging. So you need a desktop computer with kind of the basic Android
kind of installing and, you know, why SDK? Am I having a hard? Yeah, the SDK. Yeah. There we go. There's the SDK, word. Yeah. There's the Android, word slash yeah, letters that yeah. I was looking for.
Yeah. The ADB is basically kind of like the interface where you can, you know, you plug your phone into a desktop and you're able to send yeah. commands. And they're just
really
two,
easy.
Yeah, there are just two commands you have to give to it. You know, basically where you're giving, you're granting NapTime the dump permission as well as to write secure settings. And so it requires you to plug the phone into your computer, run those commands. You do need to install the Android SDK, which is a pretty big install, but you can find that on the Android developers website. And yeah, that's it. And so basically, it's get better battery life by controlling DOS on your phone. That's at the end of the day. That's what makes it so great. And we know how great Francisco is. It's no surprise that he unlocked this wonderful magic.
As far as doing this, Francisco, if you look at the kind of the FAQ that's embedded in the Play Store entry for this, he gives you the two commands to do with ADB within your terminal. And so it's really easy to use. You just kind of navigate to the ADB terminal with your phone plugged into your phone or with your phone plugged into the computer that it's running on via terminal and just drop those in there. And then I rebooted my phone just to be sure, but it probably would have been just fine from that point on. But anyways,
so it was pretty easy. Thank you to Guy in the chat room for reminding me that it's Android Debug Bridge. That's what ADB stands for. So good job there. But yeah, if you've got battery life problems on your phone, you want a little more control of your battery and you want to trigger DOS faster than your phone is doing it previously, you can do it with this, which is pretty cool. And I believe this works on Marshmallow, Nougat, and Oreo. So if you're before Marshmallow, you can't use this. But after Marshmallow, and of course, we know that's what Marshmallow's when DOS came into play. So that makes sense. So yeah. So NapTime, Super DOS, now for unrooted users too. Free with ad support, or you can get the pro version for $2.49.
Awesome. Well worth
it. Support your devs. I paid for it. Support your developers.
Support your devs.
Excellent. Okay. And that is nap time. Super DOS. Should have been mega DOS. But anyways, we'll give you a pass. Miriam, you're up next.
Yeah. Am we allowed to play a few seconds of copyrighted music without any trouble on the show?
We'll see.
All right. because this is an app that is kind of cool because it lets you, it shows you the lyrics to a song by just listening to what's basically playing on your phone at the time, like not listening through the microphone, but actually listening through whatever the internal APIs for audio are. It it analyzes the audio that's playing on all your audio apps, and it displays the lyrics in real time. And so if you change tracks, it changes the lyrics, and it's pretty cool. So I'm gonna play a little bit of music very quietly. I guess this is some Madonna. You guys all know about Madonna? Here we go. And watch the app.
Okay. Uh-oh.
And there we go. And so I'm going to stop now because I don't want copyright issues. But you get the idea where it'll show you the lyrics. And notice it's paused. So it's paused properly in the lyrics. That was the next line.
Nice.
If I change tracks, let me just quickly... I'm going to mute it now so we don't have any issues with copyright. But you can see... If I go to another song on this album and say Papa Don't Preach, for example, it will, I don't know what this is about, but it's an ad. So you go, Papa Don't Preach, it figured it out. And as nice. Soon as the song actually plays the right music here, it's going to take a little while to get there because there's that intro. But anyway, you get the idea for it.
And it picks it up right.
Yeah, it picks it up.
Right where it is.
If you scrub through the song, it picks it up properly too. So it's very, very cool implementation of, audio analysis. And, I mean, it's no different than what you do when you hold your phone to find out what song it is, right?
Right.
But in this case, it lets you get the lyrics off the internet of some database it has. And it's free and ad-supported and in-app purchase-supported. It's great if you want to do karaoke, right? And you don't have a karaoke machine and you just want the lyrics to these songs when you're with friends. Mm-hmm. And there they are, right?
Nice.
I'm not a huge, karaoke person or anything, but I'll tell you how I got this app. I was at TechCrunch Disrupt last week, mm-hmm. and somebody recognized me and said, hey, can you write about my app? And I'm like, you know, I don't cover apps. I just cover hardware mostly. And they're like, but you're on Twit from time to time and you cover apps there.
You're like, well,
and
actually,
I'm like,
I am.
I can't argue with that. And I'm going to be on next week and I need an app. So let me try out this app. And if it's not complete crap, I'll feature it. So if you find me and if you're working on an app and you find me at a show and it's an Android app, that's how you get my attention. Now you know.
There you go. It worked this time.
In fact, I got two apps. So next time I'm on the show, I'll have another one.
Yeah,
for
hold
you.
On to it. I know. It's hard coming
it's
up with
hard
apps.
It's hard coming up with apps.
Get it.
And this just came out. So perfect.
Quick lyric. One word. Check it out. Quick lyric. And all of your lyric needs are fulfilled.
Correct.
With quick lyric. That should be their slogan. Okay. Flo, I have your app installed.
Yeah. So... I realize that this is a very old app. It has not been updated since 2015, which is a couple of years ago now. However, I'm going to tell you that in this dual phone wielding world of the Android reviewee, the Android tryouter, it really
official title. Tryouter.
Yeah, whatever. Tryouter. It really helps to have, you know, I really hate it when I want to use a phone as a daily driver, but my SIM doesn't work with it because I'm a Verizon subscriber. So what I did is I found this app, which is very helpful. So what it does is it actually forwards the SMS from my primary phone, which is the Pixel XL, to whatever phone I have my second SIM in, which is the SIM that I have. It's a MVNO SIM, and it just goes into whatever other device I have because I just pay for it, whatever. Anyway, so this app is called Free Forward, SMS Forwarding. Obviously, you could see it's a little outdated in its design. But, you know, I read through the reviews and people are really satisfied with this app. And I'll tell you, after using it for about a week and a half, I really appreciate that now I can try out another phone and still have all the stuff kind of end up at, you know, on my device. This also probably works with a tablet device. So maybe if you don't want to deal with having to wield two devices at the same time, it'll work for you. So what I was going to have Jason do is send me a text message off camera, of course, so that you don't see my phone number. And then I was going to show you how it shows up on my secondary phone, which is an LG V30 right now, which is what I've been trying outing.
As they say in the industry.
As they say, yes, or whatever. So please, sir, if you might send me a text message. No MMS, though, I have to say, because that will not come through.
Okay, so I'm going to send something. Hold on.
Yes.
It's loading my conversation here, because apparently I'm doing this in Hangouts.
Is it? Are you doing it in Hangouts? Oh,
yeah, well,
dear.
Because I have voice there. That's... where most of my stuff. Okay, so then I'm going to say, hi, Flo.
You are
great. And send.
Woohoo.
Okay.
All right. I have sent
it. Now it's time to try outing it.
So I got a notification, as we can quickly see.
It's a white block.
And I really do apologize that this demo is not in person, but I'm going to try and explain it. So I have a little notification here that I have a text message, and then I'm trying not to shake my setup right now. And then over here, I have a notification that Jason Howell has sent me a text message on my Pixel. And now when I tap on the free forward, it'll show me all of these text messages that I've had forwarded to me. And then... I can tap on Jason. Well, I don't want to show you his number, but it'll pop up a little dialogue box here. I'll show you from far away so you can't see it. And you can actually reply from your other phone with no issue. It's just going to route it back through your primary phone. So the options I have is to copy the number to the clipboard, call the number, which would call it from this SIM, send SMS, and then send SMS via the linked device, which is the primary device. This thing is super easy to set up. All you have to do is enter in two connect codes on the two phones that you're doing. So it's easy to kind of like switch between different devices. And yes, it is an old app, but I just so much appreciated the utility of this thing. There are a lot of apps in the Google Play Store that I think offer a huge utility that haven't maybe been updated in years that people are still finding and still using. And so I just wanted to showcase an app maybe for anybody who's a really specialized situation. Maybe you're wielding a bunch of different devices. Maybe you have a work phone and a personal phone that you want to like ensure that you're getting your text messages from your significant other, you know, on the business phone. So, and it's free. I did pay, I think, $1.68 or something like that to support the developer, but not even an issue because I had plenty stored up in my Google Bank from the surveys I've taken.
Very cool. A couple of questions, Flo, real quick.
Yes.
Does it support more than one secondary device? Like, so you say if you have your V30 and then, say, another review phone,
no.
You can do three phones, so it's just one phone.
I think it's just one. Yeah, it says hook up two devices.
Only two, right.
Yeah, i.e. work phone.
Does it look like it uses data to do this, or how does it work?
So it says, yes, it's via a the way it works through WhatsApp, because it'll work with WhatsApp, is through a data connection. So I'm assuming this is the same mannerism that it's working
in. And so
in.
If it's using WhatsApp's engine, that's probably actually pretty good because it's probably encrypted and pretty secure and everything. Because that would be
does.
My only concern, right?
It has end-to-end encryption.
It's like, who can read my text messages now that they're going to some kind of cloud server?
Around,
or is it peer-to-peer? Like, is it actually encrypted peer-to-peer? Which I think it is if it's WhatsApp.
It's end-to-end.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks.
Nice.
That
is free forward. One word. Awesome. You can also put in SMS forwarding in there along with free forward. But I think free forward, one word, is probably going to find you the right place. twit.to/AAApoll336 is where you can go to place your vote for your favorite app from this episode. Is it Letterpress, Naptime, Superdose, Quick Lyric, or Free Forward? Go to twit.to/AAApoll336. And place your vote. And Victor is choosing. And Letterpress. Yeah.
Aww.
The word game gets selected.
It looks like a simple Scrabble. Like, I can understand, you know, the Words with Friends is a really heavy app.
Yeah.
You don't have to deal with the whole community on there, maybe.
Yeah. I'm wondering if maybe the person I was playing is upset that I haven't got back to the game. I'll hold off for now. I'll make sure that we wrap this show up before I get lost in Letterpress anymore.
I think it looks fun to play with the kids, so.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It would be a good kind of word learning game for the younger kids as well.
Kids these days
and their smartphones and their screens. And their hula hoops and their Pac-Man video games.
And their WhatsApp.
That's it for this week. Miriam Jouar, always fun getting you on the show. Thank you for coming
up to the
studio.
Thanks for having me, Jason. And good timing with the Hardware Shack, Mega Hardware Shack.
Craziness.
Yeah.
It's mega craziness.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so remind people again where they can find your podcast, where they can find all the stuff you're doing.
Find me on Twitter at TNKGRL. That stands for Tank Girl without the vowels. MobileTechPodcast.com is my podcast. That'll take you to World Podcast, which is the hosts and producers of that podcast for me. And it's weekly, it's audio, it's not live, but if you like the Engadget Mobile Podcast back in the day, this is a return to that format, and I think you'll really enjoy it. We get pretty technical. We talk a lot about the things that matter to me, which is audio, camera, mostly Android, some iOS in there, some everything, sometimes laptops. It's mobile devices, so tune in.
Nice. Awesome. Appreciate it, Miriam. It's great to see you.
Yeah, thanks.
Ron, what's up in your world?
What's up in my world? You can go to @RonXO on Twitter to follow me to find out exactly what's up in my world. Mm-hmm. And you can also go to iFanboy.com where you can every week me and Josh and Connor are talking about comic books and comic book TV shows and movies and geeky stuff. Like, I just recorded a podcast today about the new Star Trek TV show and the Orville. That will be out on Thursday. So you go to iFanboy.com to check that out. Hear us argue over Star Trek hologram technology like nerds do. and then finally, if you're a Twin Peaks fan and you miss me and Tom Merritt talking about Twin Peaks, go to damnfinepodcast.com. Make sure you subscribe to the feed because we might be returning for another show soon. So stay tuned to that, damnfinepodcast.com.
Wait, another show, another damn fine
another
podcast
episode,
show.
Another episode.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Not another show. Okay. Yeah, another. another. We're gonna. It's been almost a month. We're gonna revisit the ending. We're gonna talk about our feelings and process. So.
Excellent. Thank you, Ron. Great to see you. What about you, Flo?
Guys, my lighting has changed, by the way, because
it's like
the sun sets behind me and that just completely ruins the entire
the
lighting of
changing.
The downstairs. So I apologize if my camera was freaking out all day. But if you want to come read what I've been up to, I need to do a couple updates right now to kind of let you guys know where I'm at. But until I can get to that, go check out, I just penned something for Emojipedia, their blog, about the Samsung emoji and the journey they've sort of been on and how they kind of differentiate a little bit from what the standard sort of is across different platforms. So go check that out. And of course, tune in to what I'm up to on Twitter at @OdetteFlo, on Snapchat at @OdetteFlo, on Instagram on occasion at @OdetteFlo, FlorenceIon.com, and on the Material Podcast.
FlorenceIon.com and not OdetteFlo.com.
Yes, I haven't updated it in a while. Sorry.
I feel you.
You're full of when you're full
so
of off
right now. Yes, I hear you completely. Thank you, Flo. Also, thank you, Victor. Appreciate all your help on the show, including all of the American flag transitions.
Roger,
appropriately
Victor.
Timed. Appreciate all your help today. Thank you, sir. You can find me at jasonhowell.net, yellowgoldmusic.com. So close, but not yet. I will have more news in a couple of weeks. But that is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail. If you'd like to get your voice on the show, you can do that. 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email or a link to a video in an email. That's video mail, sure. AAA@twit.tv. Find the show on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We have a subreddit at twitaaa.reddit.com where you can submit links. We might include those links in the show. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. That's also where you go to subscribe. Probably the most important place. Go there, subscribe, twit.tv/AAA. Also find our episodes on iTunes, YouTube, Pocket Cast, wherever you find podcasts. And you can catch us live every Tuesday at around 5:30 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Wow, that flag is
I got awesome. My iced tea, by the way.